Love Hang Talk on. Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. And where the hell am I? Oh, I'm here in, where am I? In Birmingham?
Well, we're in Birmingham today.
Yeah, we're in Birmingham. It's like if it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium, huh? Yeah, I'm in Birmingham in my room right now at the Renaissance.
Ross Bridge,
yeah, which is actually in Hoover.
Yeah, that's
right.
But they say Birmingham.
But
it's in an exclusive section of Hoover.
Yeah, exclusive. Thank God I got somebody co-hosting with me because I had too much wine. I'm very tired, and God knows if I'm going to remember everything. So I have tourism on the air, don't I?
You have tourism on the line here.
Yeah.
This is Marilyn Hill, and I write for the Big Blend magazine, Where and What in the World, and several other things, but I'm also president of the International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers, and I met Merle, and we're...
Yeah, so she's co-hosting.
We're partner in crime.
In case I forget anything. Okay, so who do we have from Birmingham Tourism that's talking to us? Go ahead, go introduce yourself. I don't want to. You can
you
do
have,
it.
Well, Merle, you're sounding a little tired today. Did we wear you out yesterday? This is Dilsey Hilly. I'm from the Birmingham Convention and Visitors Bureau, and we are the tourism organization in town, and we've just been having a grand time with you folks in town.
You think so?
Well, we have. We hope you have.
Oh yeah, we're having a great time.
Good.
Must be too much of that chocolate raspberry Malone.
Have you been in today?
No, she still has the effects from yesterday.
I see how it is. They said it was better than sex.
Yeah, it's right up there.
Right up there. I'm gonna have the guy from Vizzini. Something like that. Vizzini Farms Winery, he's going to call in later, so he'll tell us all about it. But in the meantime, we've been on a culinary tour of Birmingham,
right.
So I don't really know shit from Shinola about the rest of Birmingham. So why don't you tell us a little about Birmingham?
There's a lot to know about Birmingham. You, fortunately, are experiencing one of the highlights of Birmingham, which is the culinary scene here, which has undergone a tremendous renaissance since the early 80s when Chef Frank Stitt came into town and opened his Highlands Bar and Grill here. And since that time, a number of award-winning restaurants have opened, and Gourmet Magazine has snuggled up to Birmingham, but there are lots of other things to do besides just eat in Birmingham.
Well, that's where we ate last night, huh?
We did. We ate at Holland's Bar and Grill last night.
And tonight we're going to eat...
We're eating at the Hot and Hot Fish Club. Now, that may sound like it's a catfish and hush puppies place, but believe me, it is far from it. It is one of the upscale restaurants in town. Chef Chris Hastings there does a fabulous job.
I gotta tell you something. This is really hysterical. Wait. You got just hang a second. No, it's too late to be here now. We've had this discussion with the front desk, and I told them that I'd be doing my radio show from 3 to 4:30 p.m. I'm telling you. I came into the room here and to find, like, housekeeping didn't do anything. I'm going, this is unusual. What time we got here? About 1:30, something like that?
Yeah, but they thought we were all checking
out.
Yes,
that's where I finally get to find out, that they thought we were all checking out. They had it in the system. We were all checking out. So I told the front desk, I said, but no, don't send anybody here because I'm doing the show from 3 to 4:30 p.m. So the door, there was just a knock on the door. And guess who it was? Housekeeping.
Well, it was housekeeping, of course. They wanted
yes,
to make sure that you were clean.
Of course, I told them not to be here.
But,
well,
you know,
that's
the way those things go.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get back to Birmingham. So we ate there. And
rabid football guests. So.
Yeah,
they have a lot of those coming in this week because there's a game here, right?
Well, that's right. But so we had some real great goodies last night, especially those Apalachicola oysters, huh?
Those were excellent, weren't they? I think you and I both downed about a dozen of those apiece.
Yeah,
and,
I think so.
We had all sorts of grand appetizers. We had what did we have? We had baked.
Well, those little, those tiny little claws. Those were so good.
And we had that thin, fresh, thin sliced tuna with mozzarella. And,
Jeez,
your table sounded like you had a lot more that you experimented with.
Oh, my gosh. I think we had some of everything that was listed on the menu.
Well, you know me. I sat down. I just kept on ordering. Because I wanted a taste. I mean, we had the carpaccio, you know, the raw beef, raw tuna. You know,
that's
what
right.
The hey?
We had the chowder, too, at our table.
Yeah, chowder at your table.
And someone else had the chicken livers.
Uh-huh.
And
I had to have the...
And then we also had the grits, the shrimp and grits, which were delicious.
Well, we had the grits with the wild mushrooms.
Right. And
as a matter of fact,
McEwen and Sons, who produced the grits,
mm-hmm.
are calling in later.
Well, excellent. You've got a number of interesting callers lined up.
But
here
I want you to talk about a little bit, like, what is Birmingham known for? Let's, you know, we are going to be talking about food, but let's get a little bit more about
Birmingham. Birmingham is known as the city that changed the world. Of course, the most important thing that happened in Birmingham were the actions of the civil rights movement in the late 1950s and the early 1960s. This was a hotbed. It was a very turbulent time in Birmingham. There were racial clashes between white supremacists and black demonstrators that people of a certain age certainly remember, the fire hoses, the dogs that were unleashed on the protesters. I mean, it was truly a horrific time for this city. And yet it also was a turning point in the fight for desegregation and the right to vote and all the simple decencies that humanity should be granted. So there's no question that Birmingham is probably the city that changed the world when it comes to human rights and racial equality.
Well, of course, when you guys invite me back, I'll do that whole route.
Well, and you should. It's just something that shouldn't be missed. I mean,
oh, sure.
But
me and food, you know, what can I do?
Well, yeah, I guess if you have a choice, you've got to eat first and then learn later.
Yeah. So I want to kind of like just to mention, we went to three wineries.
We did.
Right? We went to
and people are kind of surprised that
Ozan
has wineries.
Yeah.
We went to
Ozan,
which is lovely in the rolling hills of Calera, Alabama. And the grapes, the muscadines were on the vine, and if your listeners don't know what muscadines are, then they just need to come south and learn about the grapes we grow here. So
I thought it was Morgan Creek with the muscadines.
Well, they both grow muscadines.
Oh, okay. Because in Ozan, we went crazy with the peach wine.
They had a really nice, light peach wine.
Yeah.
And everybody went berserk over the peach wine, and I think we bought out
berserk wasn't the word. They were rolling on the floor. They were foaming at the mouth, I'm telling you.
But it wasn't from the effects of the wine, was it?
No, it was the enjoyment. Everyone was really, really happy.
They really were. They were very complimentary.
And they loved it, and they purchased it, and we were upset because they can't ship except to two states.
You would think that peach wine would be horribly sweet. But this is a very light wine. It's got a little sweet flavor to it, but it's made from the peaches in neighboring Chilton County. So it's all
Yeah, it was
Alabama
perfect. It was
wine.
A perfect blend. Yeah.
It was just grand. It was beautiful to sit out there in the it was a little rainy, but sit out there in the afternoon mist and look out over those vineyards and it was beautiful at Ozan.
Oh yeah.
And then moved along to Vizzini, where everybody sampled all sorts of wine there as well. They have
story is fascinating.
Yeah, but he gets to talk about it when he comes on the
air. Oh, okay. We won't go into that.
Yeah,
Let's don't steal his thunder for sure. But he has a great story.
And then we went to dinner.
We went to one more winery.
Morgan Creek.
Morgan Creek Vineyards, which is the one that I really didn't.
But that's personally, I didn't care for the wine.
That was almost all muscadine that they did have, and the muscadines were still on the vine. And we were able to eat some of the muscadine.
Yeah,
we learned how to eat the muscadines the way you eat them here.
Your mouth and eat the insides of them and spit the seeds out.
Yeah.
And you don't eat the outer skin. It's very tough. But it's they're big purple fruit, not as big as plums, but a little larger than grapes. And though they're purple, they make a white wine because the insides of the grapes are white. So you discard the hulls and make the white wine, and people love it. People come from all over to get Morgan Creek wine.
Yeah.
They have a very special wine. It's an award-winning wine called Vulcan Wine, which is named for a statue here in Birmingham. It's the largest cast-iron statue in the world, and it sits high atop Red Mountain and overlooks the city, and there's a great panoramic view from Vulcan there, and he has the largest bare buttocks of any statue in the world.
You're kidding. It's bare ass?
It's a bare buttocks that overlooks the suburb of Homewood, and there's songs written about it. There was a song written about it called Moon Over Homewood.
Uh-huh. I have to tell you something funny. There's another knock at the door. They don't leave. We got to see who's at the door.
I think it's like Saturday Night Live. I'm enjoying it.
I feel like this is, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
I love it. It's Saturday Night Live. See if it's the
last like my story with the creme brulee.
That's right.
So they're coming to my room to give me explanations while I'm doing the radio show, which I've told them not to disturb me because I'm doing the radio show.
Well, Merle, I hope you've told that story
about
the creme
brulee.
That's
why she wanted me to co-host so I could be a runner. I know.
Okay, so then, we went to the Pepper Place Saturday
Market this morning. Uh-huh.
That was delightful.
Yeah.
Well, that was really, really nice. But where we went for breakfast, Chef Clayton was.
Well, he's calling in, too.
Okay.
He's a character. He's a very colorful character here in Birmingham. And he's also one of the finest chefs we have. And he will be so much fun on your radio show, so people need to stay tuned for Chef Clayton.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you had a shrimp and grits at
yes.
Jones Valley Urban Farms. And did
and that's
Jeff
what a nice story.
Them?
Why don't you tell us about that? Because that whole story of that farm is fascinating.
You don't want him to tell. You don't want to wait for the chef.
Well, the chef will never get around to telling that. Chef,
okay, so tell us the story.
Tell
me a story.
So,
go ahead, tell me.
Let me tell you about Jones Valley Urban Farm.
Yes.
In Birmingham, Alabama. It is right in the heart of the city, as urban farms would indicate. It's 5 acres planted by a co-op of people, and it produces and supplies many of the area restaurants with the fresh fruits and vegetables that they use in their cooking. And there's wherever you go, even to the most top-notch high-end restaurants in town, you're going to find some southern influence. You'll find some steamed okra or lady peas or zucchini or something that has come out of Jones Valley Urban Farms gardens there. And they also are teaching people in the downtown area, in the urban area, to eat healthy. There are plots there for residents of the city who wish to have a plot. They're about 6x6, and you can come in and grow your own tomatoes and squash and okra. And everyone, it's an honor garden, and you don't pick other people's tomatoes, and they don't pick yours. So,
weed your own garden, and they weed theirs.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And
now, do people, like, if they want to, pick the stuff from their garden and sell it?
They can do whatever they want to with it.
Oh, okay.
It's such a small plot that people primarily...
That you can't, that it's not.
It's really for their own
garden.
Use
yeah.
more, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, but it helps cut their grocery bill.
Oh, sure.
It does, and it helps them learn to eat healthy. You know.
Although
eat,
I have to say
healthy.
It's very hard growing like toilet paper. So.
Well, it
yeah,
is, and they need
have to
spend their
to
money
the
on toilet paper and not on squash and tomatoes. So
yeah,
that's what
right.
they're growing there.
Yeah.
And so it's just an interesting concept all the way around.
I would love to do that. I have a backyard, nice big backyard. But I can't deal with bugs, so I can't go out and do it, gardening.
Well,
such a wasted.
To spray yourself, Merle.
Yeah, I mean,
spray
it
yourself
was...
yourself adequately, and you can garden.
Yeah, and then I'll choke on all the spray.
But it was very, very impressive, and they were a lovely couple. Very nice and very hospitable, and they've just you can tell they have a vision, and it was really nice.
Yeah,
yes,
I think
did.
it's a really smart idea.
They're very devoted. I don't know why every city doesn't do it. Every city has somewhere that's 4 or 5 acres of just unused land, and you know it's just a brilliant notion.
It's very not typical, but there's a lot of places in New York City. And where they do that, too.
Well, that's I know, I mean, as much as 30 years ago when I lived in Connecticut, there were town plots on vacant land, and people had just a, it wasn't very large, maybe 10 by 20.
No, but it just
foot plots, but it was certainly enough to grow a nice little garden.
To put
yeah.
that land
so
in.
So let's get on to our next place that we went to, which was the Peanut Depot.
Oh, the Peanut Depot. And how far away were you when you started smelling those roasting peanuts? You just smell them just as soon as you step off the bus there. And
yeah.
Most of the people who work in and around those buildings just can hardly go into the office without stopping in the Peanut Depot first to get them a 50-cent bag of peanuts. So
what amazed me was the how, you know, the equipment is 100
beautiful?
Years old.
Those
and
old roasters that are over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And, the way
and
the peanuts have to be hand cranked in there and just reach a certain temperature. And when they open the doors to those ovens, the steam that rises out and the smell is just, it's just like close to heaven, I think. So,
well, it was so interesting because he gave us a tour and he gave us the history of the building and of the peanuts and, then he told us about boiled peanuts and why they – and then he also explained that, you know, they'd keep their peanuts in the shell because that way they fall under the Department of Agriculture.
Right.
And it saves a lot of headaches.
And was that your first sample of boiled peanuts? Surely you ate boiled peanuts.
Before?
Yeah.
We didn't get to sample it. We just were told about it.
Yeah, I think all of us, we got a lovely bag of peanuts from them when we checked in here.
Right.
Into our hotel, and I think that we were sort of all stuffed to the gills for breakfast.
That's what happens on a food tour. Unfortunately, you try to keep everybody walking enough to let the food settle before it's time to eat again, but it just becomes a tour of gluttony after a while.
I have to tell you what was really funny. We went to lunch at Nikki's West.
Right.
Which is this, that...
That's funny in itself, the whole experience there.
So here we are at the cafeteria, and it wasn't as bad as we thought. We had this whole lecture about how it's going to be like the Nazi soup guy.
It is. Keep moving, or you don't get served. Keep moving. Don't you dare get on the cell phone.
Yeah, but he wasn't prepared to deal with people who are used to keeping moving. And they were so, we had a good time with them, and they were really great.
Oh, they looked
at us when we came in. They said, tourists. And Patrice said, we're not tourists, we're journalists, and we're going to write about you.
And they all got smiles
on their faces.
Oh, they were terrific. They're great
guys.
All of them who worked there
but
are great.
The funniest thing was then when we're finishing, and then someone comes up and asks us if we want to box our leftovers. What's his name? The guy with us.
Yeah, from tourism.
Jim Winter.
The one that's in really good shape and covers the sports and everything and the photography.
Jim Windsor?
Yeah. And Jim says, Jim is the one who encouraged us to box the stuff up, and we go, how are we going to eat it? He said, you put it in your room, there's a refrigerator. We said, no, how are we going to eat it? Like, when are we going to be eating the leftovers?
When are we going to be hungry enough that we can eat the leftovers before we go for a wonderful dinner?
And then he says, you'll figure it in about 3 hours. You'll be hungry.
That's right. An hour and a half. Who knows,
Yeah. Well, 15 minutes is really the thing.
You got to have some standby
15 minutes
food.
Later, and it's, I'm feeling a little weak.
I know. Let me eat again, please, Lord.
Yeah. So let me just see. Let's see who came in on us. Come on.
Hi, Merle.
Let's
this is Ellen McEwen.
Hello, Ellen.
How are you?
Oh, fine.
Glad to be on with you.
Yeah. What are you going to talk to us about? Tell us who you are.
Well, I'm Helen McEwen, and my husband and I make organic stone ground grits, cornmeal, and polenta. And we also...
You got the whole fam. Well, introduce your whole family.
Well, my husband, Frank McEwen, and our sons, Frank Jr. and Luke, and the boys have an organic egg business as well. They have 900 chickens. And they're free range, and we let them out during the day, and we put them up at night, and they eat organic feed. And
you mean your sons? You let them out at night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so we just started this kind of as a for fun thing. My husband has an old fashioned general store in Wilsonville, Alabama, and he sells horse tack and. He's a feed and seed guy, and he kept wanting to buy grist mill. He just said, I think it'd be fun to, make some cornmeal and grits and, be something different to take to someone's house for dinner instead of a bottle of wine. We just thought it would be a little fun thing we could do. And so we were just selling it out of the store, and the Birmingham News came and interviewed us, and our sales increased about tenfold in a month.
Wow.
And it really hasn't stopped since then. So
these are grits that we had last night's dinner at Highland.
Yes.
Yes.
And I believe they're the same grits that were used this morning, weren't they?
Yes, the same grits that were used by the, yes. What's his
Chef
name?
Clayton?
Yeah.
Chef Clayton.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, wonderful. And then you came by our booth, and there you go.
So tell me, though, like, there was a whole thing of different kind of grits.
Well, we buy all of our corn from one organic farmer, and he grows white corn, yellow corn, and blue corn. So the blue grits have been really popular. In fact, one of our local chefs that was able to cook up at the James Beard House in New York took our blue grits and made a blue grits and pork appetizer. And this was Cliff Holt from Little Savannah.
And, oh, that's a fabulous restaurant.
Yes, it is. And and then we have yellow and white polenta and yellow, white, and blue cornmeal. Oh, and we also have speckled.
Tell us the difference between polenta and grits.
It's really just the grind. Polenta is just more finely ground, and it cooks up more like cream of wheat, and our grits are a lot grittier. You know, they're just more hearty and have a more coarse, you know, texture to them.
Uh-huh. And there's also the popcorn, too.
Right. I hope you like that popcorn. We love that popcorn. It's from the same organic farmer. He sent it as a gift one Christmas, and then one of our local grocers said they would love to sell that, and we loved it. And so we've been packaging that as well this year, and it's been a big hit.
Now, what is, like, okay, how should one cook grits?
Well, either in water. I usually do mine in water just to save the calories. You can cook them in milk, you know, with some cream added. But I usually cook mine in water and add some butter and salt to it, and that's it. And you add the butter at the end.
Uh-huh.
But I've also made the polenta, cooked it in water with some minced garlic, and then added some mascarpone and white cheddar cheese to it, which makes it good and fattening, and a little butter. And then
yeah, but they taste better that way. This is Marilyn, by the way. And they
Marilyn.
I'm on the trip, too, and I love it when they add the cheese to it.
Yeah,
so I'm curious, like, so in other words, this morning they were creamy grits. So in other words, they were most likely they were cooked with the milk or cream then?
Well, they finished it off. You know, you can finish it off with just a little bit of half and half at the end, and they're delicious.
Uh-huh.
It turns them all creamy. And it doesn't, you don't have to, you know, kill it with heavy cream to get
right.
that texture, that mouthy feel, you know. And you can finish it off with some half and half or even whipping cream. And
so how does someone, if someone who isn't local wanted to get in touch with you, do you have a website where they can order?
Yes, McEwenandSons.com, all one word, McEwenandSons.com, and we have a PayPal account, and you can order straight off the website and see what the other chefs have said about us. One of our New Orleans chefs took our product up to Martha Stewart, and they were featured on the Martha Stewart Show, and that
really?
Little clip is on there. So,
do you have recipes on there?
You know, I am not sure about the recipes. We just got.
You can put that on your to-do list for the future.
I will. I'll tell you, my sister-in-law is coming out with a cookbook next month. Oxmoor House is printing it. They're printing like 50,000 copies, and it's going to be called Glorious Grits, and it features all the chefs from around the country that use our grits, and they submit their recipes, plus some that Susan has written. Susan has been writing for Southern Living in Oxmoor House for almost 30 years. That's Frank's sister, and so
uh-huh.
we're real excited about that. So that's
well, that would be good. I just suggest as a marketing tool, if you for the book and for your grits, that you feature 5 or 6 recipes on your website as to how to cook grits.
You know, they very well may be there, and I just we just got the thing up and running, and I've run through it, and I'm real excited about it. But we do need some recipes. We've got
in terms of length, how long should grits be cooked?
Well, I think these stone ground grits, the longer you cook them, the better they taste. But you can cook them in 20 minutes. These are not instant grits. And they really don't taste good unless you give them at least 20 minutes. And but other than that, you can leave them on the stove for an hour and a half if you'd like.
So in a way, they're like a risotto that if you just keep adding water and keep cooking,
yes,
it's better.
Will they get creamier the longer they cook? I mean,
I believe
they, meaning that they'll be less gritty or no?
Well, they just, I don't know, they just taste better. I think they do get creamier. They get a little softer. I would say less gritty. I would say less gritty because if you don't cook them long enough, you can taste those chunks of grit in your, you can sometimes have to fish those out of your teeth.
So would you use, like, now I grew up on farina, cream of wheat.
Uh-huh.
And there was nothing gritty at all, So if would one use polenta instead to make a cereal that's finer?
Yes.
Just to be sure?
Yes, definitely. But polenta really is more like cream of wheat.
See, I use polenta as a base for casseroles sometimes, like to make it like a mashed potato base but packed down.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's good. It was interesting to see what the chef did with the grits, of how it was served, like take your own. We had to put grits in this little plastic cup, and then put the shrimp and
vegetables,
vegetables in it, and then when he did it. He did it as if like this big shrimp cocktail in a martini glass.
Yeah, his presentation was beautiful.
Do you know, that's popular at weddings down here. They'll have grit bars, and you go through and you get your grits, and they put it in a martini glass, and then you can top it with cheese or bacon bits or, whatever. And that's popular at events and weddings.
Really? That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new take for people not from this area and something different to serve.
Yeah.
What have you seen as the most elaborate thing to be putting on the grits?
Honestly, it really doesn't, I've never seen it go beyond, seafood. Like really good shrimp or scallops. I guess you could put caviar on it.
Yeah, suppose.
It's great with roasted vegetables and.
I know what
you
could put on it.
What?
A little bit of shaved truffle. It would be two ends of the spectrum. If you had some grits that had some marzipan cheese or something stirred into it to make it really creamy.
Yeah.
And then you put just a touch of shaved truffle.
Are you talking about the chocolate kind?
No, I'm not talking about
the mustard kind. It's, what, $1,200 an ounce?
Well, no, but you could use Oregon truffles. They're not as expensive.
Okay.
Well, that's a great idea, and I'm sure that would be wonderful.
I bet that would taste good because they taste good. I had them on macaroni and cheese, and I couldn't believe it, and I bet they would taste wonderful on grits. I mean, it would be a fun thing to do sometime, just as a, if you were entertaining a few people.
Oh, it would be. Well, we sure enjoyed meeting y'all today, and so glad you were here in our city. And
yeah, I'm really happy that you were able to call in because I thought it would perfect. What a perfect
good
opportunity to talk about grits.
Yes, and you're so invited to your show.
Well, and from someone that understands them, to us, we don't really understand when you're not raised on grits or around grits as much. I don't think you have as much appreciation as to how much you can do with them.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're so versatile, because you can have them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And, and if you don't want a big dinner, you can have a bowl of grits.
Yeah.
And
I got to tell you something very funny.
A little
funny
salad, when you're set. What now?
When I first when I was first, like, I was traveling. I traveled across country, and, of course, I'm going from one accent to another, hearing different accents, you know. And I get, and the bus goes, I did this on the bus. So we stopped someplace in the South, and it was breakfast time. Now, growing up, I was used, as I said, I would have farina. But if I had farina, that's all I had. It's, you know, you just had a bowl of farina with whatever, and that was the end of that. So we get there in the breakfast, and I had, and I asked, and I got some bacon and eggs, and what, you know. And then the guy says to me, do you want grits? And I said to myself, why would I? Because they all, I didn't know what it was. It looked to me like cereal, hot cereal.
Right, it's just
and
ground corn.
Why in the world, if I got bacon and eggs, would I also want hot cereal?
But it's sort of instead of potatoes. It's
yes,
a starch
but,
instead of
yeah,
potatoes.
But who knew?
I didn't.
You know.
Oh,
but anyway.
Well, do
I
y'all have any other questions? Or?
No, no, we're fine. I think. If there's anything you want to add, by all means.
Well, you know,
I'll put up the your website on my blog here on my blog talk on my blog spot.
That would be great.
And I
did check the website while we were talking, and we don't have any recipes on there. So I'm going to my sister-in-law's tonight to watch SEC football.
Uh-huh,
you know
okay.
About that. Crazy thing we do down here constantly
yeah.
in the fall. So I will mention that to her because she's the one that wrote the cookbook, and she can.
Well, you have my email address.
I do on
yes.
your card.
Yeah. So when you get it, when you get one, send one to me.
Oh, we'll I can send you some recipes. I really can.
Okay. Yeah. Send to me. What I'll do is. When I'm writing, because when I'm writing in my my blog site, I could, you know, write as long as I want and whatever, so I can add a recipe.
That would be great. We will do that. We'll get you a recipe for sure.
Actually, if you send one to me, I'll put it on a different site, and we can and connect it to Merle's, too. And
okay.
That would just be Marilyn, Marilyn, at ifwtwa.org.
At
I is in ice cream,
mm-hmm.
F is in food,
mm-hmm.
W is in wine,
mm-hmm.
T is in travel,
uh-huh.
W is in writer, A is in association,
.org.
.org,
Marilyn, Marilyn, great.
Yeah.
Well, I will do it. We'll
okay.
get some recipes out to you ladies. And thank you so much for asking me to join your
sure.
today. Okay?
And I'll put up there how you know, my first grits came out.
Okay. Oh, that'd be great. And I can't wait to go to your blog spot.
okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
That was so cool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, let's see. Who am I waiting for the call? Oh, we still got, who did I say?
Chef McClellan.
Got the chef, and we got the guy from the winery who will be calling in. Okay, so in the meantime, I better do a commercial. Let me do a quick commercial. Wait a minute. If I'm going to do a commercial, you know, it has to be a food one.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these brownies. Oh, God, I need more of these. You can get them at www.brownies.com. I mean, I have to tell you, it's horrible. Every time I run out of them, it's like, oh, now what am I going to do? Have you ever tasted Have you ever tasted
them? No, I haven't ever tasted them.
These are like, oh, my God. And I get to see them. They usually sponsor at the chocolate show in New York. Oh, the chocolate show is coming up in November. Chocolate.
That's good. I was a judge at the Oregon Chocolate statewide chocolate show last March, and was that fun.
So while we're waiting, tell me a little bit about the
International Food, Wine,
yeah.
and Travel Writers Association.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
That thing.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a wonderful association.
Or as I would say, what the fuck is it?
Well, it's the only association that represents food, wine, and travel writers together. And anyone, a travel writer, they may say they only write about travel, but believe me, they write about food. The food and the culture, whether it be wine or spirits of any kind, beer, liquor, it all goes together no matter where in the world you go. So it's a terrific organization from that representation. And we give our writers leads of who is paying for articles, and we give them a place for an online profile where they can put their bio and their websites and how to contact them and their latest clips. So when they want to go someplace, the convention bureau or tourism bureau or PR company can go and look at, see what their profile is and say, oh, yeah, they really come through. So we do a lot of things like that. And we also ask different places if they would like to host us for media trips. When our media trips are always filled with a lot of food, wine, and interesting destinations. That's why when I get home, I have to diet and eat healthy, because when I'm on the road, healthy eating isn't necessary. Oh, we eat healthy, but then we eat unhealthy too. We're not unhealthy. A lot of fresh ingredients. Wouldn't you say that describes, Meryl, what we eat?
Yeah, we just eat. We just kind of eat, and they put it in front of us. We eat most of the time. Or as I call them when I say fam tours. Fam stands for forever a meal.
Yeah, forever a meal is really good. And then we also have an online magazine called Global Writes. And that features stories that our different writers have written from different parts of the world. And that's sort of neat. And we publicize them on all these different places to get it out to. So, you know, they get thousands of people looking at their articles. And they love us for that. So it's a great organization. It's not as big as a lot of the organizations. It's nonprofit. And we only have one employee. So that means our board members have to work. And being one of them that works a lot, I think I've made a monster since I've been involved. You know, I really believe in it, and it's exciting.
Yeah. Well, I forgot. I wanted to tell you something. I had just remembered today when I was filling out the form for the TMS Travel Media Showcase. Of course, I call it. The TMS stands for too many solicitations. But when I was filling that out, it had a thing for me to update my information. Again, not remembering that I ever went. And I'm saying, I don't remember when I went. But as I remembered in the information, that they asked if you belong to any organizations, and that was the organization I put down, because probably it must have been that long ago that I went to a travel media showcase thing that I'm still a member of.
Of IFWTWA,
yeah.
So if anyone wants to learn about IFWTWA, you can really get it if you go to our website.
Which is?
www.ifwtwa.org. And there's all sorts of places. It says member benefits, and then it says interview of Marilyn Hill with member benefits. because
you get more benefits if you listen to the interview.
Well, if you bring in new members, you get more benefits. You get a credit. But it's just nice, and the people you meet and that you network with, and you get to know that is valuable. And we do a conference at sea. Now this will be our second year doing it. And we have a scholarship for new writers. And
this is new writers, not nude writers.
Well, they can be nude when they write. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, that's their choice. But it's a scholarship, and that we just started last year. But our conference at sea, we have professional development, and we are helping people learn how to be a little bit more interactive on the Internet. A lot of writers are challenged by that because they're used to using their pen and pencil, and they've come up to the computer, but the Internet is a fight. But they're also challenged by a lot of print magazines not being as available as they used to be. So it's a situation of the old saying, like buggy whips. But we've had a great time in Montgomery and Birmingham.
Oh, yeah.
These last few days, we've seen so much. And ate so much. But it's really been a terrific example of the South accepting and acknowledging its history. Not just painting the rosy picture, but painting the rough times and how they've come through it. And they have really come through. It's lovely here.
You know, I would say, here in particular, it's interesting to see the difference between the Marriott that we stayed in Montgomery and this one here, and how it's like, you're like complete, like a new country you're going to.
Yeah, well, we were at the Renaissance by, of course, owned by Marriott in Montgomery, and we're at the Renaissance at Ross Bridge here. And this one is modeled, the architecture used the one in Banff, Canada, the old CP. Well, it's a Fairmont now, but that was his inspiration. So this one's sort of castle-like, and we're out in the country in the golf course and bagpipes every night.
Oh, I'm waiting for that. I can't wait.
Did you see him last night?
I saw him, and I didn't get an opportunity because didn't they say something about that he winds up
over by the bar, but we saw him on his way to the bar when we were getting on the bus.
He winds up over at the bar? Is that what you said?
Yeah, on the patio over there.
Oh, I thought, what did they say, that he starts on the golf course?
Yeah, he starts and goes around the golf course and then goes around the whole hotel. And so when he was coming up to the bus, I ran down to get some photographs.
Yeah, I'm going to get some YouTube.
Yeah.
I'll do some YouTube on it.
And it was really... It's interesting. It's just interesting to see each part of the country and all the things that they have to offer and what's important to them. And what's happening all over the U.S. is more local farm to fork, locavore.
Yeah, that's
using fresh local foods.
Yeah, and also that where you would think there weren't wineries.
Oh, we heard, Norm and I heard, there were only 3 states that didn't have wineries now. And I don't know what 3 states, maybe Alaska.
One of them must be the state of confusion.
Maybe North Dakota doesn't have it. I don't know where else doesn't have it. Because I know Maine has a little one now. Arizona has 31. New York State has scads, they've had them for years. But Missouri is 5th in line.
Really?
I was shocked. I mean, all these places I'm hearing about, these wine trails in places I'd never dream of. But Alabama has a wine trail, too.
There's a need for, like, that. Of something not, could be, let's say, like it's easier to grow grapes than tomatoes or something.
Yeah.
You know, that could be happening.
Well, I think with grapes, what they've learned is instead of saying, I want to grow a Pinot Noir grape, that's my favorite, that's what I'm going to grow. And it doesn't work. They have to take the soil conditions and the climate and all of that, and pick the grape according to what their soil and climate says. And through science and technology, they've learned what grapes that they can grow, and they're developing some really great grapes in regions in a short amount of time. That's what amazes me, because it used to hear how it took 20, 30 years to get the vines to go. You've got new vineyards coming on board that are winning awards in blind testings after 5 years.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. That's just amazing.
Yeah, as I said, you just never know.
And what was really interesting is Merle, who's saying she doesn't drink red wine.
God.
I'm telling you, when she got that chocolate raspberry, or raspberry chocolate, I think she thought she died and went to heaven.
I suffered a little for it because I'm allergic to red wines.
But I see a bottle here that you bought.
Yes, of course. Well, I'm going to take it home.
And dole it out slowly.
Yes, very slowly. Very slowly, yeah. But I don't like, in terms of, but a lot of people have an allergy to, it's like I have an allergy to balsamic vinegar,
mm-hmm.
because it's a red wine vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but and it has to do with the tannins.
Yeah, yeah. The red wines have a lot of tannins, and that's one of the reasons they say they're healthy for you, unless you have an allergy to them, and then they're lethal. but another thing that's fun to do, and I went to my first one was an olive oil tasting, and that is just scares the fun. And you never knew olive oil could taste so good until you get some of this peach olive oil or tangerine olive oil and a little bit of they did it with balsamic vinegar, but they also used a rice vinegar and an avocado vinegar. And so, I mean, it's just wild, the creativity that's coming through.
Yeah.
With what to do. And that was done using an old-fashioned, I think of it as a deviled egg plate or an Easter egg plate, because we had one of those old glass plates, but it was like they put the different things around. Do we have another guest on yet?
I'm waiting for the call, but I know we're going tonight to Southern Live. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's Sunday morning.
That's tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Tonight we're going to Hot and Hot Fish Club. I don't know where we. Are you hungry yet?
No, I'm not hungry.
You know, the 15-minute thing is not working too many with me today.
No.
But we're going to the Hot and Hot Fish Club. It says with co-owner Idie Hastings. I'll just read what it says. It says that. When people first hear the name, they often think this must be a Cajun seafood place, seafood restaurant. While Hot and Hot does prominently feature fish and seafood, the name actually speaks to Chef Chris Hastings' heritage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we're going to find out, and I guess I have to wait for my article as to the result of that. And then tomorrow is where we go, Southern Living Breakfast at Brock's.
And we already got two recipes from them. Southern Living and this Renaissance Hotel have worked together that on Sunday mornings in their restaurant, they serve Southern Living recipes.
Oh.
So this is like direct from Southern Living's tested kitchen.
Summon a bitch. Look at that. You just never know. Okay. I got a cut to a commercial. Yeah, that, of course, you know, these people are paying. Would you believe it?
Well, you better get them in while they're paying.
Yeah, you're not kidding. So, yeah. And for those of you who've listened to the show, over and over, I will get, I'm working on getting a new commercial of theirs, but in the meantime, you know.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, no, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room. I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
I love that commercial.
I know. It's fantastic.
It's so cute. I know. But anyway, so I don't know what happened, what's happening to our calls. They'll eventually get to calling it, though.
But JetBlue's a great airline.
Oh, yeah. I love JetBlue. I mean, and speaking of, like, the blue corn.
I know. You know, I like blue corn tortillas, except I've never had blue corn grits.
I should have got them. I was just kind of asking. I had asked her, do they have any different tastes? She said no. But it would, you know, I wonder if it would be, I should have gotten combination. You know why? It would be interesting to see what happens if you cook blue and the yellow and the white.
Well, all I know is this is a long time ago, but when I was in college, the students did the cooking, and there was just, I went to a college where everyone worked 15 hours a week, and the students did the cooking, and they had one person in charge of the kitchen as the overseer, and so there were a lot of things that were experimented with, including blue mashed potatoes, you know, with food coloring. And it's been my experience that people don't react to eating blue very well. That's a personal experience. That's a few years old. But I still remember it.
Okay. I just lost my... let's get back my switchboard. Come on, switchboard. Come on back. Because I'm going to... We're gabbing, and I'm... Okay, let me fix this here. I'm going to actually take a break for a music break, especially right now. I don't know if they did. I think, I'm not sure, but I think this might be next weekend. There's something, a March on Washington, Equality March on Washington, and the cast members from Hair are going to be part of this march. And so this is like the it's an hour on Broadway, and I like the one of the songs that I happen to like because it gets in a few of the songs. So it's called Flesh Failures, but they don't actually say that. So I'd like to play that for you while we take a break. Go ahead. Let's try this again.
Starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new toll lies with supreme visions of lonely. My future.
That's what we should do, let the sun shine in. Well, how is it outside now? Well, the sun is out.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, well, we had a pretty sunny day. It was shining in all over. Yeah, sometimes what happens is people get in the middle of things. Although, I told him at 1:45.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy,
I thought he had to leave to go to, he had a funeral, and then he had.
Oh, he'll call in, because I think he said something like,
he has to go to the airport.
Time, it'll be 5 o'clock, 5:05.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can see, because my computer says 5:03, because my computer is set to
Eastern.
New York time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's going to Florida, which will be the same as New York, so he'll be calling in. He'll probably still be calling in. I was just kind of wondering what happened with the guy from the winery.
Yeah, because let's just talk about him a little bit, because he
behind his back. Let's talk about him.
Yeah. No, but he had such an interesting story.
I mean,
when you think of the South, you don't think of a Sicilian. And he certainly doesn't have a Sicilian accent.
No.
And he can't even speak Italian. But he comes from a Sicilian family who has had the wine background. And he had wonderful, wonderful wine. It wasn't that when you went down the list that you'd taste one and then you'd like that. And then the next one I would be like, Every single one of the wines he poured, people liked. But we had heard about his, poured Paulina, which was named after his mother, and that was a raspberry wine.
Was that just a raspberry?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that was Merlot, wasn't it?
It was a raspberry Merlot. Yeah. But then he had no intention of pouring that chocolate raspberry.
No.
And we just said, we heard that was better than sex. We want to taste it.
Well, that's because, what's her name, Dilsey?
Yeah.
Yes, because she bought a bottle of wine so that the writers here could taste that wine.
Yeah, and so he started pouring it. Well, it ended up, Norm and I, we ordered a case, 6 bottles of the Paulina, and 6 bottles of the chocolate raspberry to be shipped.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know what it's going to cost to ship it.
Yeah,
but,
I know. But what I thought was interesting, the steel drums.
Yeah. Well, I've seen stainless steel drums, and I've been on a lot of winery tours. He explained it. Everything was very concise and simple to understand. And he doesn't use the oak drums. This is a very small operation that produces enough for their family. They take it seriously. It's a serious business. It's not an advocation. It's a vocation. And they use the stainless steel drums because then they can use it for one type of grape and then use it for another after it's sanitized and cleaned. And
the drums are from Italy.
Yeah, the drums are from Italy, and it's amazing. He uses for the oak flavor in certainly not with the raspberry wines, but with his other wines. He buys these little oak chips. And that's what he puts in to give the flavor of being aged in oak. They're aged in stainless steel with some oak chips.
Yeah.
And it works. It really works.
Yeah. That's what I found interesting. I don't know if anybody else does that, but I've never heard anybody do that. Or maybe nobody admits to doing it, you know. Oh, look at that. Well, we have somebody finally. Okay. Let's see who we have here calling. And you're on
Hello.
The air. Who do we got?
This is Chef Clayton Sherrod from Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah. Oh, that was so wonderful. We were talking about the farm itself. So we want to talk about what you do and how you're connected with the farm. But tell us all about yourself. Introduce yourself and talk to us.
And this is Marilyn. I'm on with Merle.
Okay, Marilyn, how are you doing? We had a great time this morning with Merle and the rest of the journalists. You have to excuse, I'm at the airport here in the right here at Ground Transportation waiting to be picked up. So I have enough time. But every so often you'll hear that in the background. I'm sorry.
Okay, not a problem. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm Chef Clayton Sherrod. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm here in Orlando now. I'll be doing another show tomorrow. I'll be back Monday. Excuse me. But it was a pleasure to do this breakfast this morning. It's always a pleasure to have to get up 4 o'clock in the morning, I can tell you that. But we had a great time. And I prepared some of the items that was indigenous to our area, which we love grits, and we had the shrimp and grits this morning. I've had an idea. I said, well, next time you guys come, I'm going to have shrimp and grits and some fried green tomatoes, so you can really feel at home.
Oh,
but
wow.
we had the shrimp and grits, and we've done this quite a few times before. That is selling the state of Alabama, Birmingham especially. In all my travels, that's what I do. I try to always be an ambassador for our great state of Alabama and teach the people as much as I can about our culinary heritage here.
Well, now, Chef, I know this, of course, I know this your jacket, interviewing chefs all the time. It looks like you've got quite a few accreditations and everything. And
yeah, you have a book out, don't you?
Yes, actually, it's I had four cookbooks. The first two are definitely out of print. We have a few of the third left, and then the fourth one is about a year old. But then I do a lot in South Africa. We have another book that just came out about 2 months ago. And that is, it's a coffee table book. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous book, and it's called, the name of it is Pain and Pleasure. I'm hoping to have some here in this country in about a month so they can be for sale here. Right now they've been sold only in South Africa and England. And that's because of the person that sponsored it is a friend of mine that owns quite a few restaurants in both of those countries. But we do have. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the one that you have that's not the latest one that you do have now. Which is that one?
That is Truly Southern. The third one was Simply Southern, and this one is Truly Southern, and that's the one that I had. Really, I didn't have but about 7 or 8 of them in the car when I finished this morning, and I felt sure that the Convention Bureau was going to have some there for me to autograph for you guys, but I was told that we will send Tuesday. Well, I'll be back Monday, and I'll autograph some for you guys, and they're going to ship those books to you, to each one of the people who were there this morning.
That's wonderful.
Oh, that's
I'm delighted. Can I take a recipe from there and put it on my blog and then tell people how to get in contact with you?
Absolutely, as long as you spell my name right. You remember this morning we had the Alligator syrup. They had my recipe on there and didn't even have a name on it.
It took us. It took travel writers to notice that for you and food writers. You were missing your name. Do you have a website?
Yeah, I was missing my name. Yes, it's www.chefclayton.net.
Okay, that's good to know. Well. Tell us about where I know that you go around and you represent the state, and you said you go back and forth to South Africa quite a bit. Where else do you do your cooking? Because you're certainly talented.
I travel a lot in Canada. I go to Toronto a lot. I go across the country quite a bit. And my best friend, who's here in Orlando, he's a world-renowned chef in his own right, and he and I do quite a few ventures or events together. And And then quite naturally, so I spent a lot of time in South Africa, and some in West Africa, but mostly in South Africa. I first started going there in 93, whereas I'm in charge of the celebrity chefs from the United States to go there, and we meet other chefs from around the world, and what we do is just raise money to feed hungry children. And we have them coming in by busloads, like thousands of children to come in. I tell you, it's not a dry eye in the house to have all these chefs together feeding all these hungry children. And then we put on cooking shows and these fabulous dinners and charge a lot of money for it. And we take that money and we donate it to Valley Trust and Operation Hunger there in South Africa to just keep the process going while we're not there. I'm also involved in South Africa, well, in Africa, really, with a very, very famous explorer. His name is Kingsley Holgate. He's very well known on the continent of Africa. He's been following the footsteps of David Livingstone for 30-some-odd years. And he and I we partnered up, and we have this thing we call One Net, One Life, whereas we raise money and pass out mosquito nets to pregnant women, mothers, and children. And the way it's set up, Kingsley, he circumnavigates the continent of Africa, and when he gets to certain countries, well, I would meet him there with a celebrity chef, and then we just go into the fundraising processes of raising money for the nets for the next country that he gets to. It's a lot of fun, a lot of work, and a lot of fun. I've been involved with that since, 2007, I believe, when I went over there the first time.
I want to ask you a question that I've been dying to find out. I, when I was in South Africa, the thing I discovered was rooibos tea.
What's what?
Rooibos tea from the honey bush.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Have you ever cooked with it?
Yes, I have. Rooibos tea. It's very robust. I was going to say that. Yes, I have. And it is excellent to marinate, like, your steaks in this tea.
Oh, okay. Because I love, it's one of the only teas I'll drink.
Oh, yeah.
I have factors of it.
Oh, really?
We passed it out on our cruise, our conference at sea for International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers last year. It was one of the gifts.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've always wondered of something like when people cook with tea and what do you do with it? But you say to marinate steak.
Yes, it gives it a very, very good flavor, and especially a tea like the robust tea. We had some of our recipes that we used tea while we were there 2 years ago. We had a dinner that we did nothing but just the flavors of tea and coffee, and that was from the appetizers all the way through the dessert. And I like cooking. I like doing unusual things anyway. I did that. I started that like 30-some-odd years ago. I was doing all kinds of unusual things that I would say I would do the unusual with the usual when it wasn't even popular. And, you know, if people cook one particular way, well, I would always try to go against the grain and just see what happens if I try this.
You were a renegade.
Oh, yeah, yes, I was a renegade. Now, you have to understand.
Still a renegade.
Well, I'm still a renegade. Well, that's where inventions come from. That's how we change everything nowadays in this world. You don't just get all set in a mold. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that everything you do is going to be perfect. You know, you have to keep trying until you do. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I also wanted to ask you now, with breakfast, did you create all of the items that we had for breakfast as well? I mean, with that, it was brie with, I forgot.
Pecans.
Yeah, we had the peach preserves, as you know, here in this area, well, when I say this area, before I left home this morning, but in the great state of Alabama, we're really known for our peaches, especially in the Chilton County area. Because you know, Alabama and Georgia is the states for really, really nice peaches. So we had peaches on top of that, and then we topped it with some glazed pecans. And that in itself just gave it just the right amount of sweetness, and then the pecans itself, along with that brie. We try to take things that, let's say, a brie quite naturally make you think French. But
right.
That doesn't mean that we can't marry that type of flavor that's known in the French area and just bring it south, just southernize it. I guess I just made up a new word. But anyway, that's what we do. And the same is when, you know, I mentioned this morning, when I travel, I always take my grits and my Allagher syrup and my fried green tomatoes, you know, my green tomatoes. I take them with me so that I can use them and try to marry in our flavors that we have in the southern United States,
to,
where I'm going.
Explain to my audience what Allagher syrup is.
Allagher syrup is it's a cane syrup, and it goes back 106, maybe 108 years. And a good friend of mine is one that owned that company with Whitfield Foods. That's a syrup that's indigenous to this area, and they came about the name when two families, they married in together, one person married the other, a guy married this girl from Georgia, and so they brought the two families together, and they made syrup, and so the name Allagher, the A-L-A, the first part of Allagher is Alabama, abbreviated, and the last part, G-A, is Georgia, abbreviated. Well, that has been a staple for people in this area, both states, for many, many years. Even they have the clear syrup that was used in babies' formulas for, you know, like 100 years ago. So this is an item that everybody from this area is used to. That's one way, believe it or not, I make friends when I go to areas outside of Alabama, and I tell you, when I pull out a bottle of that Allagher syrup, I tell you, I make friends instantly because people want me to leave it with them because it takes them back home. And it's just one of the items that we're very, very proud of, and I try to travel with them everywhere I go.
And tell everybody about the thing with the twigs.
Was doing this show on TV. I do a lot of, I do TV shows anyway, quite a few. And I was making my infamous gumbo, which is something I make gumbo all the time. And he saw me making gumbo on this food channel. And so when I was making the gumbo, I wanted to use some fresh thyme. And so what I did, I kind of tied it in a little bundle and I threw it over into the gumbo. And he was looking at it, and as soon as I finished, he called me. I was still at the TV station. And he was telling me, he said, "Ryan, I saw you baking that gumbo. I want you to bring me some of that gumbo, but I saw you throwing those bushes in there, and I don't know if I want those bushes in my gumbo." He wasn't used to just seeing someone cooking with fresh herbs, I guess.
Hey, look, well, it's interesting seeing how the leaves are so nice and tiny, those, the thyme, right?
Yeah,
it's thyme. Yeah. Of course, you know, what I do in most cases, sometimes you do something just for show. Sometimes I will, now if I'm going to just eat it right then and don't want to deal with the twig, well, you know, you can always hold it and then just push the leaves off. You have to do it backwards, you know, and just push them off right into your product. But I try to use fresh herbs. Now, those came out of my garden at home. I have a beautiful herb garden at home.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have watermelons growing all around the house now. My wife don't like that.
That was Can you tell us about the thing with the chicks? Oh, tell the story with the chicks.
Okay, well, here's this past Easter, I was up in North Alabama, and we went up to this farm and bought some butter, some fresh churned butter, and the people had a lot of little chicks over on the other side of the farm. So I bought three of them, just $1 a piece, and the friend of mine who was with me, he bought some. And so I said, well, I'm going to just buy these chicks and give them to the young ladies across the street, my neighbors. They have five little girls. I said, well, I'll just give them to them and let them play with them, and we'll decide what we're going to do with them later, because they were just so cute. So I brought them home and had them there in the house. You know, they were just born, and I wanted to keep them kind of warm. Well, my wife came home, and she immediately thought I brought them to her. And so she fell in love with these little chicks and refused to let me take them anywhere. Actually, they lived in the house. And I said, well, baby, what are the neighbors going to think? They still with chickens, you know, raising chickens in this new neighborhood. We've already had this one problem, whereas I use watermelon rinds and use them to fertilize areas in the garden, and especially out on the front. And one time, last year and again this year, you know, some of the melons, if she don't just really like the melon, she give me the whole thing, and I just push it into the ground with my shovel and put dirt in it and mix it all up and just let it sit there and fertilize my the ground. And lo and behold, last year they done vines just started rising up out of the ground and just running all over the place with these big watermelons that started to growing. And again now, like right now as we speak, there are watermelon vines all over the place. And that's when I first said, well, baby, I know the neighbor's not going to look to us kindly. We're just moving into this neighborhood, and we got watermelons growing in the front yard. That doesn't look too good in this nice neighborhood. But now we have watermelons growing in the yard, and my wife have kept chickens in the house. So they don't look at us too fondly, I'm telling you.
Well, that's because you think outside the box.
Well, and I do. I think outside the box. For all of you guys, that you're journalists and you help inspire people to come to the Birmingham area. There's something else I chair, and this will be good for the travelers. We're building a museum in Birmingham. First of all, we're refurbishing Rickwood Field. We got the money to refurbish Rickwood Field. We've already done the groundbreaking. And we're building a museum. It's going to be the Negro League and Southern League Museum combined, and it's going to be beautiful. You should just see the drawing. So I'm just involved. I try to stay involved in things at all times, different things. And that's what keeps me that's what keeps me looking so good, you know?
Oh, no, but yeah, we all thought you were good looking.
You passed inspection. There's
yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yes, we have to stay busy, and we have to do things for people. We have to, at all times, do as much as we can for our fellow man, and that's what I do a lot of now. Sometimes people come at me from all sides, and I have to tell them, I said, well, if I have to turn something down, I just let them know my flowers got to be in heaven, but I'm going to have to turn this down because I'm involved in so many things. But I love it all. I really do, because I'm a people person. I love people.
Yeah, and I think we all love you.
Yeah, I will tell you, everyone was impressed with this morning. They really, really enjoyed it. It was just such a pleasure. And then, you know, seeing your booth when we went to the farmer's market, that was so neat.
I have to tell you what was really funny. I had absolutely no idea. I wasn't connecting. I started at the booth, and I see this cake. And
uh-huh.
The woman's giving out samples of cake. And all of a sudden, I look, and I see this guy serving grits with shrimp.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, who the hell stole this?
That young man is one incredible young man. Now, I don't know if you've seen any of those episodes with me on Paula Deen.
No.
well, the first time that I was on Paula Deen's show, well, this is a young man that helped me, and he's now my chef manager, the one that you saw there this morning. Well, he just, now believe it or not, now we were very, very busy this weekend. Now this is the ultimate sacrifice. He just got married this past Thursday.
Oh my goodness.
He just got married this past Thursday, so I was trying to figure out, well, Chris, what are we going to do about, we're very busy, and I want you to make sure that you you take care of, have someone here to take care of this weekend, because we've got quite a few things going. I just want to feel safe and secure that everything's going to be all right. And he said, well, we knew we had a lot going on, so he's putting his honeymoon off, and they're going to go later. I mean, that is like the ultimate sacrifice. So he doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to send him on a honeymoon. I'm going to take
care
of it for him. Yeah.
When I end the show, I'll call him to let him. No, I won't.
No. It's going to be a surprise. I've already told my wife. Really, I went shopping for a honeymoon package for him. And I think what I'm going to do is send him to the Bahamas. I have the chefs down in the Bahamas just love me, and that's another side. I spent a lot of time there also in the Caribbean, so I'm going to send him there. So if I buy a $1,000 package, it'll probably feel like $4,000 or $5,000 by the time chefs take care of each other. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the privilege of going with a French master chef to Bocuse d'Or this year. And
oh, really now?
Yeah, and that was a highlight of my life. I said it's a food lover's dream. And it's
yeah.
A
my friend, and I'm waiting on him to pick me up now. Now, he's been one of the top judges at Bocuse d'Or. And
yeah,
because of him, huh?
Listen, I'm sorry. I have to cut you. I just realized the show is just about to end.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll call again sometime. Okay.
Okay. So I'll talk to you another time. Thank you so much.
Okay then. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye bye.
Hang it up. Yeah. Show's over. Well, that's good that he called in for the end. I mean that. That's how this is done. Usually I have a thing and I end the show and stuff like that, but I didn't realize it's that. I don't know what. Oh, this probably ran out of juice. I mean, what happened is the girl couldn't speak English, so she went back to get someone that could speak English, and he came back, and it's like, come on, guys. Did you get that? It's like, what do I need? How many times do I need to put across, I'm doing the show from, okay, so that's how it works.
Now,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, now the music you use, do you get permission first, or?
No, something like that, because I'm not playing the entire song.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the ones I'll call, like, the cast of hair, and I'll say, listen, I'm going to put music up. Is that okay? I said, sure, that's not a problem. Or try and think of, stuff like that. Sometimes people put out CDs, and I put up a couple of songs from their CD.
Well, you know, I mean, what I've been doing when I've been traveling places, I've asked if they've got a local artist that they want to let me have the CD, and that I'll give them credit when I use it.
Sure.
Because I'm not paying for you.
What time are we, is our thing? The next, are we meeting with something? 6 o'clock. Oh, we've got half.
Are you serious? 5:30?
Yes, it's
5:30. Okay,
I'll get it going. No, wait, no. It can't be 5:30. It's 5:30 on this time. Must be 4:30.
4:30.
Okay,
it's
4:30.
But that was interesting. So
yeah.
So you just basically...
you go on to blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah.
And it says you want to set up a camera.
times you want to do whatever, and you set it all up for yourself. And then, you know, then you do, this is up to you. You'll have a switchboard. This is up to you. I'll show you just here so you can see. Okay, see it says upload over here. And I press that, and it tells you where to, you know, where do you want to pull the file from, and you pull the file from something or whatever you want to upload. Now, I have, and I'm sure there's a easier things to do. For instance, I have my thing, I can put a, I put a song into my, you know, the thing, whatever, you know.
CD.
Okay. And it comes up, and I have something that converts CD to MP3.
Mm-hmm.
It's a program, and it's, I guess I downloaded it, whatever. And so I'm able to do that, and I store it, and I store it in a section of my thing called radio, the computer, so anything I want to pull. So when I go to upload, I'm going into that radio file and uploading whatever I want.
Okay, so now when you store things from your recorder.
Now this one, now that one here, for instance, let's see.
So are these all MP3s then?
Yeah. Now, see this one here that says, let's say, Bellingham Captain.
Mm-hmm.
That one there came from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm told, and I just haven't done it, I could take right now one that I did and just plug it in here and it'll come up and do whatever I need. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Because I have the tech person who showed me had this kind of computer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she said, hey, and I'll show you. And she was just showing me all this shit, and I'm going, okay. And she even, like, we went through it, and she said, and I want to show you how to edit it. And I did, and whatever. Haven't done it yet. I mean, I have to do this.
You have to do it a few times before you get it.
But the problem is I can't do this at home because I don't have Wi-Fi, or can't plug it in into my regular computer because of some situation with the computer, so I can go online and download or do anything with it.
Yeah.
So that's what I have to. What I have to do is, like, if I go to Panera Bread, where they have free Wi-Fi, and you don't have to. I don't think you even have to put in a code, and maybe I can probably do it there, or I can, you know, sit around here and try to see for that.
Yeah.
But this is basically just to, you know, when I'm traveling, to have this, see if I can do a show. That's why I got this. That's it. That's the only reason I got this.
But it's good.
Because I have a laptop. It's too heavy.
Yeah.
It's just 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So. Now, when I go home also, now, just to give you an idea, like, let's go to, show you what the...
So then you log on to Blog Talk to see if they have certain times available?
Yes, I can set it up, but I'll show you that in a second. But I want to show you, like, what I do with this, because this is what's going to happen with this one. Okay, so for instance, see, I can really play with this better than anything else. Okay, so here's it. I go to Mentor McCormick and Schmeck's. We made up a drink. New York Shark Team, I put that on there. Here's the general manager of there, and he's about to serve me this piece of fish we were talking about. He gets it. It's a YouTube.
Yeah.
Here's the guy demonstrating how to cut up a halibut. There's a chef demonstrating how to do coho salmon. then I have some more stuff with the food. Mm-hmm. So I can keep, now I have on this side, I got all these, they're sponsors, but they're not sponsors, they're people, you know, let's go up. I can't stand this thing. I want a mouse.
Can't you hook them up?
I forgot to bring it. But these are like, you know, they, if I get enough, I get them a sponsor and put them up there. Mm-hmm. And, that's what I do. But now I'll show you, like, okay, let's say, it's probably the best idea. Let's go back to the, I'm going to set it up.
No, the show you did today.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm going to show you how I'm now going to set up next week's show. So I'll show you how I do that.
But the show you did today, is that just that's automatically done? And
it's all done. It's now archived.
Okay, and is it a podcast or is it just...
Yeah, whatever the heck that is. But it's archived. So in other words... let's go to, I could decide, which I'm going to do. I think I did a good show. I think I did a pretty good show today. So, come on, let's, count. They get shitloads of advertisers, and you'll see them all over the place. They know, because they know people are, this is the top one right now.
I know that's the one when I co-host on the Big Blend, it's on Blog Talk.
Okay, so let's go to, first I'll show you what I'm going to do with this. Let's go to Archive Episode. So now I can, because of all the stuff we talked about and everything else, I say, well, I think I did, this is a good show. So I'm going to feature it. Which means if somebody goes on to the, to listen to a show, just to listen,
this
as an example, this will be what, this will be heard. This will be the one that people will hear and it'll come up. Okay, now what I'm going to do is now I'm going to add an episode. Because I want to make sure I have. So I start off here, title, which is all the same. You know.
Well, don't you want to see that? They have us checking out. I'm telling you.
I am so pissed.
That happened to myself. Norm and I, our keys didn't work.
Oh, that's why your keys didn't work.
Yeah.
Although I didn't have a problem, though.
Well, I don't know
they
why
probably
I
didn't.
But they said, well, you're checking out. And I said, no, we're not. Not till tomorrow. She says, are you paying for tonight? I said, no. Both nights are gone. No, I mean, yes, it was handled, but I will tell you first, some places voted so number one in service.
Yeah, I know. Okay, description. I'm just going to say for right now. We're talking about Montgomery.
Montgomery, Alabama.
And Birmingham.
No, this is next week. I'm setting it up for next week's show. Birmingham, Alabama. Since due to a screw-up, I wasn't able to do last week's show. And I'm not going to put the entire thing as to who's going on, because I'm not sure at the moment.
Yeah.
I have an idea. I mean, I'm going to have the mayor call. I have, you know, some other things. I'm going to have the woman who plays Rosa Parks play what she's going to call.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I have to put this. Now they want you to put in keywords. So, travel.
Yeah.
And I'll put the Montgomery. Food, so it's going to be food,
history.
I'll put history, yeah, history, because I'm going to do that. History,
culture,
entertainment, now. And then the next thing is, how long do I want to do the show? Right now I'm going to say an hour and a half. I may want to do 2 hours, because I, you know. So I'll do an hour and a half, 90 minutes.
When you tested it out, you started with 30 minutes, 15 minutes, and then 30 minutes, and then 45
minutes. No, I did 15 minutes as a test. They tell you to do a 15-minute test. Then I did 15 minutes. I'm just going to do a half an hour as the next one. And was told by the person who got me started with this in the first place, oh, Merle, you sounded great, do an hour. And she said to me, you know, you should do an hour and a half, because you had to end it. Sounds like you had to end it too quickly. Do an hour and a half, you can always cut it. Okay, choose time. No, that's not what I want. I want to be in. I usually like to do it 7 to 8 p.m. And the date. Let's see. I've got to do it the 16th. Then, if I want, here's what you can do. Let's say you wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
I could put that on there. Or let's say, which I'll do going back to describe the other one. I could put the chef's book up on there, as long as it's through Amazon.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. But I'll do, what I'm going to do is, thank you.
if I did a blog on writing and whatnot.
You could also, and I just want to show you one more thing with this, which, you know, I just don't keep up. There's a blog on this as well.
It's a marriage.
In other words, if you're blogging about the radio show, just a blog about the radio show, there's a blog on here too. But there's also, I just want you to see one more thing. I mean, I wish, you know, like, again,
there's not enough hours.
I'm not a techno person, so let me just show you, like, when my friends were with me doing this. Once we're taking photos, video, and stuff like that. Let's go to, I want to show you what, as to what can be done. Okay. And also to show you another thing, too. One very important. Okay, come on. And I'm going to go to archive. Play with the numbers like this. Don't do it.
Did you get a code to bypass the 995? Did they say you could charge it cheaper?
No, I just put it in there and whatever. I just put it in there. Okay. So here's the archive thing. I hate this thing because it covers this, so I can't see it there. But let me go down further. See what I was able to do?
Yeah.
To put in the photos. And this one, look what my friends did. They put this in a whole bunch of photos like that. But just to give you an idea, okay, it says 35 archive. That means 35 people, yeah, I pulled it up. There were 3 live and 10 callers. Then you could tell who's doing it. Now, just to give you an example, now, I interviewed this guy, this chef, who does sushi. And 126 archives. Why? He sent out an email to everybody.
Yeah, on my YouTube, I can tell who has sent out emails to people. One of them, I've got 300.
But here's the one, I don't know what's going on with this the most, because the most of any of them here, let's find it here, is Wichita, Kansas. I don't know why. Of all places.
How long have you been doing this?
Since December of last year.
Isn't it amazing? A year ago in March is when I actively started working that, you know, work with my blog and all that. And I've started, when I do a fam trip, I go a couple days early.
Mm-hmm.
And interview the chefs, and so I do chef videos or something, and put them in my YouTube, and put them in my blog. And they love me, and depending on the chef, as to how many send them out to every person in the family, everyone.
That's what I tell people to do: to do it yourself. But here's
the key to promote yourself.
Yeah. Wichita. Look at this. Wichita has got still going. 250. Now, I don't know what. but it's because of Wichita, or, okay, I did a whole thing, the Museum of World Treasures. I had somebody call in from there. The Cosmosphere, the Underground Salt Mine Museum, Hatman's Jack. I don't know. Somebody must have linked it to theirs, because I can't imagine why anybody would want to know about Wichita so much.
I mean, but you don't, it doesn't, there's not always a rhyme or reason.
But that's the one that's got the most.
Yeah.
Anyway, that enough. Okay, goodbye.
That touch screen is.
I know. I don't, as I said, I don't like it.
I had to get a mouse. All right. See you soon. Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And of course, if you wanted to link this thing to your stuff,
yeah,
because you're talking.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the IQ 25 and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if you'd want to do that too, for people to hear what it's about, or just because you're also
I'm promoting it.
Yeah. But you're also talking about being here and Birmingham and stuff like that. So, you know, it's good to, you know, if people know that you're doing something other than heading the, you know.
Well, see, that's one. Like with the Big Blend, a lot of times when I'm out, I'll just send a recipe in to them. Like, I sent a recipe from Houma, Louisiana. Because, you know, that's the fastest part.
So I should go.
Promotion? No, I don't know about going.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about going. I just want people to know that Big Blend wants places from all over the world. So I've got places from all over the world.
Yeah.
And so I just sent it, but they said when I'm someplace wrong. And so I just said from home in Louisiana, this is what's happening, and here's the recipe that they shared with me, and I sent it. That goes out to 250,000 people on their mailing list. And then when it comes up on the Big Blend next week, then I write a little blog about it and link it to that, and it links back in and goes up to Food Buzz and all that other stuff. And it just gives, it's like I've come through with something. Now, I'm not doing it necessarily for Homer, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it because I was here.
Well, come with me, because I got the guy didn't call me, and I'm very insistent about talking to the front desk. I want to talk to the manager here about this whole thing. The double. One is not doing your job.
The other one does.
And the other word is stupidity. How, if I'm telling you, don't come. I'm doing a show. Why do you send somebody?
Yeah.
What the fuck is the matter with you? Let's go over there before, and then I'll come back here to change for.
Yeah, exactly.
For tonight.
Go up and talk to what you're doing. He's writing his article.